Well, have you ever been in a march before? Have you ever been in a march? Were you in a march yesterday? Did anybody here go to a march or a rally of some kind? I did, is why I ask. There were a lot of people came out to march yesterday. I went to Des Moines, to the Women's March in Des Moines, which was a sister march of the Women's March on Washington. That one in Washington, D.C. gathered about 500,000 people together. And I heard that the one in Chicago gathered about 200,000, was large enough that they didn't have room to do the marching, so they just did the rally part of the gathering. So I went over to this march and showed up, and I wondered, as I saw all these people and reports of millions of people gathered together throughout the world at something like 620-some different marches around the world, I wondered what brings people to a march? What brings people to a march? What causes people to gather in this kind of way? We're confident that it's my microphone causing me trouble. So I wondered, those of you who've been to a march, what brings you to a march? What causes you to come to a protest or to a rally? A cause. Oftentimes we come to a cause to support something that we're advocating for. Yeah, when we feel passionately or when we feel fervently about something, when there's a purpose or an issue or something that needs to be brought, needs attention brought to it, right? We show up to a march or to a protest. Yeah, when we have respect for a leader might call us forward to a protest or to a march. What's that? Or his death, and to show respect for one who has gone before and pointed the way, we might come and gather together. Absolutely, these kinds of things might gather us together. I ask this because I was struck in Des Moines by the number of people who were gathered together and the many reasons that they showed up. I could tell by signs they were carrying and the things that they said. People were there for all kinds of reasons, gathered together at the Women's March in Des Moines, at the Capitol, at other marches, and here in Iowa City at the old Capitol. People had gathered for all kinds of reasons. All kinds of things brought them together. But one thing that I heard repeatedly from folks is that they were feeling despair, that they were feeling isolated, that they were feeling beaten or alone, and that they, when they arrived at the Capitol, when they saw the crowd of some 26,000 people gathered together, they knew that they were not alone, and their spirits were lifted, and their energy and passion were restored. It reminds me of a song that was sung by Melanie some years ago. Some came to sing, some came to pray, some came to keep the dark away. So raise your candles high, for if you do, we could stay black against the night. Raise them high up again, for if you don't, we could. For if you do, we could stay dry against the rain. Some came to sing, some came to pray, some came to keep the dark away. Well, I reflect on this kind of march and this kind of move because it seems that there must be something stirring to cause a person to make a change or cause a person to leave their day-to-day or their ordinary life to show up for something like that. And I wonder if that's what's happening in our scripture today. In the passage from Matthew, I wonder what has happened and what's going on. It's easy to overlook that first verse that seems to be just setting the scene, just telling us what time it was in the life of Jesus. But I think there's something happening there. Verse 12 says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now when Jesus heard that John was arrested. There's something happening there. Jesus, we remember, was down in the region of the Jordan. He had just been baptized. He was in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit, and then he heard that John was arrested, and he traveled, say, 100 miles north. He withdrew to Galilee. Sometimes the thing that causes us to make a change is something that feels dangerous or painful. And that moves us to change. A retired pastor told me that he had read, the one thing that causes people to make a change is when the pain of the status quo exceeds the pain of change. I wonder if that might be what is going on, but that reason for change doesn't explain what happens next in the scriptures. When Jesus begins to move along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee and speak to fisher people there and begin to call people to come and follow, they make a change too, a pretty radical change, and not because of the pain of mending nets, not because of their sore hands or skin rubbed raw through the rope. That wasn't painful enough to cause this total change of life. There must have been something else, and I wonder if it was this, that what Jesus offered them was so, the potential of Jesus' life that he offered was so great that the status quo became intolerable. A similar discomfort with the status quo, but not through the pain of the status quo, but through the potential of what was coming, that they couldn't stay the same any longer. Because of the new day dawning around them, they had to make a change. This got me thinking. This talk of calling, this talk of changing direction in our lives got me thinking about my own call to professional ministry in the church. It got me thinking about those days when I was out doing college visits and I said to my parents, I'm not sure that this is the direction that I ought to be going. See, I had been going to camps, Christian camps, during the summer, and on Thursday evening during each of those camps, they would have a moment where they would say to us, if you feel you may be called to professional ministry, we have people who would like you to come forward. They'll pray with you and talk with you about that. And I would say to myself each time, that's good that they have that for those other people, because I'm going to be an architect. I know the road that God has set me on. To do this work. I'd been in a drafting class, and I loved drafting and design. I actually still do. But I'd been in a drafting class, and I knew I would be an architect or a draftsman, and that was the road that I was on. But after a couple more years, there in my junior year, I went to another one of these retreats. They asked the same question there. And again, I sat with it and said, no, it's good they have that for other people. But after that event, the questions stuck with me. Could God be calling me to professional ministry in the church? It was just a question. It wasn't a lightning bolt or a flash of brilliance or insight or even a deep and firm conviction. It was just a question that wouldn't go away. Could God be calling me to professional ministry in the church? Is that what God has in store for me? And so, as I was in the car on the way to a college visit for the School of Architecture at Urbana-Champaign, I said to my parents sitting up in the front seat, I think that I might be called to ministry. And they said, well, do you still want to go on the visit? And I said, sure, we might as well. We're halfway there. Let's see what it's about. Maybe that'll help me to understand. Because I wasn't certain at the time. It started as a question, and it continued into a quandary and an exploration. As I compared the life that I thought I had planned for myself and this new possibility that had opened up that caused me to move in a new direction. From that campus visit to Urbana-Champaign, I moved then in a new direction and started asking that question of others, do you think that God could be calling me to ministry? I asked my local church pastor, what does a pastor do on those days other than Sunday? I said, I know you do something. I've heard it's a full-time job, but I've only ever seen Sunday morning. So what does a pastor do? And he tried to tell me, but it turns out every week is very different from another, so it was difficult for him to explain. But I started to ask that question of others and sense an affirmation that this was a place where my gifts and passions aligned with an opportunity in the world. And as I continued in that discernment process, it became more clear to me over time that this was indeed a place where God had a call on my life and where I would be moving. But that clarity emerged over time, because I really thought that I would be a draftsman or an architect. I still enjoy drafting. I just downloaded a design program the other day and did some CAD drawings of some floor plans and layouts. It's something I still enjoy. It was a good thing that I was called away from into something that I could not turn away from, because it was even greater, the opportunity that God had set before me. Well, and I can tell that you appreciate this and you feel good for me, but by now you're probably wondering, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? It's very good that you received this call to professional ministry, but what about the rest of us? What does this have to do with me? Well, I share with you my call because I am certain that every person is called, not just me, not just people called to a pastoral ministry, but I am certain that God is calling upon every person's life at every stage of their life. And sometimes that call takes form in a career, and sometimes it does not. And sometimes that call remains in very much the same vein for a long, long time, and sometimes it does not. But I am certain that the call does not end with a graduation from high school or with a career or with a retirement or when we've settled into one place or another, but that God continues to speak to our lives through our gifts and passions, through the opportunities and people around us. God continues to speak to our life and to call us. And I offer my story just as one example because it's the best way I know how to talk about a question that was after me, that caught hold of my life and moved me to something rich and meaningful. Because I expect it is there. If you aren't living it now, I expect it's just on the horizon for you as you learn to listen and prepare to follow. Because listening and responding to God's call in our life, well, that's kind of what Christian discipleship centers on. That's kind of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's kind of what we're about here as we join in community, is helping one another to listen for the voice of God in our life and to respond by taking steps of action toward that call as we follow Jesus. It's not something that happens automatically. For most of us, a call isn't realized through a flash of brilliance or a voice from the heavens. So we've got to practice listening through study and prayer and conversation. We've got to practice discerning the voice of God so we can tell what the difference is between the Holy Spirit calling us forward and that leftover sense of guilt from our childhood telling us what to do. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing, and it takes some discernment to understand the difference. That's a skill we learn and practice in community. So that's what we're doing here. It's not automatic to follow Jesus. Sometimes change is hard and we're not ready for it, so we've got to build up our spiritual muscles through service in the community, through gathering with one another, through giving ourselves and our stuff away so that when we understand that call from God, we're ready to act and to move. That's what we're about here. That's what we're doing, preparing ourselves to listen and respond to God's call in our life, especially when it means a change. So one of the things we've looked for over this last year, and one of the things we've found for 2017, is a tool to help us to do that as individuals and a community. We've partnered with our district of the United Methodist Church and with discipleshipsurvey.com. I think it's a boring name, but it's a great tool. It's a great tool. Discipleshipsurvey.com has a little personal inventory. It only takes about 10 minutes to do, but it gives you an opportunity to get a snapshot of where you are in your faith life right now. Discipleshipsurvey.com looks at 5 or 6 different areas of faith, because sometimes we're more mature in one place than another. Sometimes we feel confident in our ability to serve others, but a little nervous about our ability to pray. Sometimes we feel that there's an area we could grow and an area that we feel strong in, and that's what it helps us to identify, is what might be the next step for us to grow deeper in faith and strengthen our spiritual life. And I want you to take a look at the newsletter. That's why I pointed out these red folders and made sure that you know that you could get on our newsletter list, is there's instructions coming out in this next month's newsletter to tell you how to go to discipleshipsurvey.com, create an account using our church's login, and take this survey yourself. So I hope that you'll do that. And if you're not receiving a newsletter, talk with the office, make sure that you are, or we'll just get the instructions directly to you by email, or we can print them out for you and help you to work on that website if you prefer. We want to make this available to each person in our congregation so that we can take those next steps. So what I'd encourage you to do is once you take that discipleship survey, share your results with somebody. Share your results with someone so that they can help you to see what your next steps might be. Share it with your Sunday school class or your small group or your Living on Purpose group. or just share it with a friend or a mentor here in this congregation or beyond, or share it with your pastor, and I would be happy to help you to see and discover what your next steps might be. Because this is what we're about here, growing in concrete ways to listen for Jesus' call and take our next steps in following after God's leading. We want to strengthen ourselves so that when change comes to our life, because change is coming to all of our lives, but we want to be ready so when change comes to our life, it's not just a change out of the pain of the status quo, but it's a change for the possibility of the outstanding life that Jesus is offering us as we join in Jesus' mission and purpose of reconciliation and liberation, and in his work of offering healing and hope to our community and our world. Let us prepare so that we may come and follow. Amen.